merciful, the compassionate. Hello and welcome to Pure Home with me, Sahar Harju. Well, we all need companions, we all need friendship, and that's why we have friends, we have family friends, and we wonder if family friends truly do have an effect on our families, our children, our husbands. So that's what we're going to discuss today, family friends. And of course, we have other segments to our program, so you'll definitely want to stay tuned for the next 45 minutes to hear more about that. To the program. Well, we're honored to have Dr. Mohsen Ghamari in our Qom studios to better understand friends and family friends. Dr. Mohsen Ghamari is an Islamic scholar. Dr. Ghamari, welcome to the program and thanks for joining us.
Assalamu alaikum. Thank you very much for inviting me to be in this program.
Okay, so let's dive right into our conversation about family friends. Now, we've spoken about friends on many occasions at our program, but this time we want to kind of expand our horizon and speak about family friends and people that we associate with as families. And so what criteria should parents take into account when they're choosing family friends to associate with?
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وبه نستعين انه خير ناصر ومعين. This is the good topic that you've chosen for this program, and inshallah I try to cover this topic from some perspective. Yes, as Amir al-Mu'mineen says, the real stranger is the one who has no friend. So human beings by nature is created as to be civic and social being, and he needs communication, he needs to be in connection with the others and cannot satisfy his own needs without having communication with the others. So we are in need of having friends. And friendship before, Islamic teachings was important, but Islam has more emphasis on that topic. And when we refer to Islamic context, we can find that friendship is one of the issues through that we can build our personality, our life, and also we can have good breaks throughout hereafter and happiness, that is eternal happiness for ourselves in the day of resurrection, inshallah. And the topic is family friendship. This is totally different from what we have personal, friendship. In personal friendship, we have communication personally with one person, so person to person. This is one of the friendship we can imagine. And family friendship is different because the person who is communicating with us, he is coming to our house, and we are going to the house of that friend. And there is coming and going within the family members, and there is communication with all the members of the family, and it may affect the whole atmosphere of the family and the training of the family, especially children that we have, we're going to train and educate them within the family. Then we have to consider some criteria. Among them, considering the levels of making friends and having friends within the family. The first level and the first degree that we should start with is the friendship within the members of the families. The parents, if they want to have some friends, should start with the children. So the parents, father, mother, they should start friendship with their own children first. We have to have our children as our friends, and that is the most important friendship and fundamental friendship within the members of the family. And the next step is having friendship with our relatives, close relatives like our brothers, sisters, aunts, uncle, nephews, and children of them. So all of them are mentioned in Islam to be in good relationship with us. So no one can disconnect this relationship that Allah's, you know, created just mere for the sake of some bad behavior, some bad akhlaq, bad morality. No, we have to continue this relationship forever. We cannot, you know, detach from these families, because these are families and relatives by creation. Allah wanted them to be our relations, our relatives, our connections. So we have to continue this relationship. And then the neighbors. The other criterion is having our neighbors who are living in our neighborhood. They are our good friends. And Prophet, as Amir al-Mu'mineen says, suggested communication with our neighbors, so that we thought that they are inheriting us, because the neighbors have great rights over us and we have to consider these rights. So if we consider our members of the family as friends first, and then our close relatives in the next step, and the third step, the neighbors that are, you know, living with us, that are neighboring us in our society, in our country, in our city, then this is the communication we can think about them. You remember the story of Lady Fatima Zahra Salamullah Alayha. This is narrated from Imam Al-Hasan Al-Mujtaba Alayhi Salatu Wassalam. He says, I was hearing the voices of my mom when she was praying for the others. From the, you know, beginning of the night, she started praying for the others, for the neighbors. And I was thinking about ourselves, why my mother doesn't pray for ourselves, for the children of her in the family, within the family. But till morning, my mother prayed for the others without praying for ourselves. I asked my mother, oh my mother, why you didn't pray for ourselves? She said, Bunayya al-jar, thumma ad-dar, my dear son, first neighbors and then ourselves. You have to think about the neighbors. You have to have good communication with the neighbors that we have, to think about their needs, satisfy their needs. When they are patient, we have to go to visit them. We have to be aware of their situation, style of life, whether they are hungry or they are full. If they are hungry while we are full, then we ignore their situation. We're not Muslims, we're not real mu'min. Then we have to have good communication with them, friendly relation with them, to be aware of all things that are happening to them. Otherwise, we cannot be called as a real Muslim. Then friendship with neighbors and friendship with our close relatives is mentioned, and it is the main criterion. And the other criterion out of this, you know, the three relationship, is religious criterion. When you want to expand your relationship with the others, other than your neighbors, your family members, your relatives, you have to think about Islamic manners, Islamic teachings. Whoever is compatible with these principles that we have in Islam, then we can join to that community, to that person. Otherwise, we have to leave them. They cannot be a real friend for us, because they may harm, they may, you know, have some threat for our beliefs, for our understanding, then our principles in Islam will be, you know, shaking out of this relationship.
Mm-hmm. I think it's quite interesting that you pointed towards just even the neighbors. I think nowadays relationships have become so distant and so cold that we even forget our close relatives. For even neighbors, but a lot of people don't even know their neighbors. They've never seen their neighbors. So it's quite important for us to start connecting again, like you said, first and foremost with our relatives and even our distant relatives, and then onto our neighbors so that we can follow in the path of Hazrat Zahra and the other Ahlul Bayt. Okay, well, we will go for a short break and listen to our story, and of course, we'll be back.
The Son of the Merchant. There was a wealthy merchant who had only one child. And this child was a very unruly and thoughtless boy. He was always after wrongdoing. He just made friends with people who encouraged him in mischief. His father advised him a lot of times not to make friends with such people, but he didn't listen to him. The merchant was very sad and thought that his son would become miserable after his death. One day the merchant hid some money in the ceiling of one of his house rooms. Then he told his son, "Oh dear son, if you become so miserable after my death that you decide to commit suicide, take a piece of rope and hang yourself in that special room. Fasten the rope to the hook in the middle of the ceiling. Then stand on a stool and put the rope around your head. Then push the stool away with your foot. This is the easiest kind of suicide." The merchant's son started to laugh. He thought, "My father is mad. Does a man with common sense commit suicide? Why does my father then teach me to do so?" Some time passed and the merchant died. The son started to spend money lavishly. During 1 year, he wasted the money his father has saved during his life. Then he sold every valuable thing at home. After that, the merchant's son didn't know what to do. At this time, his friends sent him a message and asked him to invite them all to a party at the specific time and place that they had chosen. He looked for something valuable at home, but he didn't find anything. He went to his mother and asked her for help. His mother felt pity for him and gave him her gold bracelet. He sold the bracelet and brought the necessary food for the party. He wrapped them with a piece of cloth and went toward the garden where the party was supposed to be held. In the way, he felt tired. He pulled the food down and lay down under the shade of a tree. At this time, a dog, which has smelled food, came and tried to open the wrapped cloth. The merchant's son threw a stone toward the dog. The dog jumped back, and the cloth was tied around its neck. When the son saw this, he stood up quickly and chased the dog. He ran so much that he became breathless, but he couldn't reach the dog. He went to his friends while he was crying. He told the story, but everyone laughed at him. They mocked him and didn't believe him. Then they went and bought some food. They ate the food and didn't let the merchant's son enter their party. At this point, the merchant's son came to his senses and realized that he had spent his father's wealth for worthless people. So he decided to commit suicide. He remembered his father's advice when he had said, "If you become so miserable that you decide to commit suicide, take a piece of rope and hang yourself in that special room." He returned home and took his stool and a piece of rope. He went to the same room that his father had said. He started to hang himself, but the hook and the brick of the ceiling fell down. The son fell down on the floor too, and gold coins dropped from inside the ceiling on his head. When the merchant's son saw so much money, he realized that his father had loved him a lot and had predicted that what would happen to his son. He took the money. Then he went to his mother and said, "I regret so many wrongdoings. I want to restart my father's business." After a short while, he became successful in his business and could make a fortune. When his friends learned that he has made a fortune, they continued their friendship with him. The son invited them for lunch to same garden. On the party day, the merchant's son went to the garden empty-handed and said, "Dear friends, today the cook was cooking a piece of meat when a mouse came and took it away." One of them said, "That's okay. Such things happen a lot. Last week a mouse took away our meat and all of our dishes." Another said, "The other day a mouse came to our kitchen and took away not only our food, but also the cook himself." Hearing these words, the merchant's son said, "Then why didn't you believe me when I said a dog had taken my food? And why didn't you let me be in your party? You didn't believe my truth that day when I was poor. But now that I am rich, you believe my lie and tell such nonsense to please me. You're not friends of mine. You're friends of my money." Then he went out. He worked so hard from that time on and became a very successful merchant.
Well, we hope you enjoyed the story, and of course, don't forget to take a lesson away from it. So we're speaking about family friends with Dr. Ramari in our home studios. And our next question for Dr. Ramari is, Dr. Ramari, we wonder if it says most people's characteristics and personality is usually formed by adulthood. So as adults, do their friends really have an effect on them? Their family friends, that is?
Yeah, it is correct that even according to Islam and according to psychology, man has an age, and that age will become perfect in his knowledge, emotions, personality. And Islam says the perfect age is 40 for every mankind. When we reach the age of 40, we can become sure that our intelligence, our personality, you know, became perfect, and we can rely on ourselves, on our reason, our understanding, and to run the society, to manage our life throughout Allah the Almighty. And it is why when Allah, you know, orders in 40 for orders, you know, his angels, that be careful of writing down whatever is going to be done by this man or woman in the age of 40, because this is the age of perfection. And do not lose any detail of his or her action. And we have to be very careful about what we're going to do. Before the age of 40, Allah would forgive us because we are at the age of youth, and we may make some mistakes, and it is forgivable by Allah the Almighty. But after the age of 40, because of the perfection, as you asked me about that question, because of the perfection of mind, perfection of intelligence, so it is not acceptable for a man or a woman to make great mistakes in that age, and we have to be very careful. And it doesn't mean that when we become perfect, nothing, you know, affects us. No, we are under affection of many things till our death. Because of that, it is mentioned that seeking knowledge is obligatory for every man and woman from their birth till their grave. So in this life, all the time we are taking some lessons from different things. We are under influence of whatever is going on around us, and from environment, from different people, from different things, we are affecting all the time. We are going to be affected by the things. And no one can be comfortable or to say, okay, these things are not affecting me, I'm alhamdulillah confident, I'm alhamdulillah perfect man, perfect woman. Then this song, for example, this music, this part of film that is not morally good cannot affect me. No, we cannot become sure. And all the time, we have to be very careful of the temptation of shaitan. And we all know that we have two kinds of shaitans, two kinds of iblis, whether to be, you know, humanistic shaitan or shaitan from jinns. So